Welcome to Down with the Dig. I'm Shella.
And I'm Matt.
This is a podcast presented by the Ohio Laborers Union to keep you connected to your labor family. This is Down with the Dig.
Today we're joined by Pete Fitzpatrick, the Chief Executive Officer of District 1. Hi, Pete.
How you doing, Matt? Thanks for having me.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As you had mentioned, I'm the CEO of District 1. Which is a unique company, which I'm sure we'll get into and talk about a little bit. But I am from Ohio. I'm from Northern Ohio. I live in Fairview Park. I'm married. I got four kids, two in high school and two in late grade school.
You're a busy guy.
Busy man.
Very busy.
Now, before we go too far, let's talk about District 1 just a minute. It is not O-N-E, correct?
Correct. It's District 1 with W-O-N at the back end of it. And we do that because our company is quite, we work with high schools across America. We see that, you know, we believe that high schools are the glue to their community. And what we do is we partner groups like the Ohio Laborers with those high schools, and we do some very powerful marketing messages that go out into the community via that high school. And the namesake, District 1, obviously, the district part of it is a reference to the scholastic part of what we do, but the one, W-O-N, really talks to every time an organization like the laborers would do a message through us, you know, they win and the school wins as well, because every time we bring messages through those schools into the communities, there's a positive impact on that school. So our namesake reflects what we think to be a kind of a winning combination on both sides of that.
How are you able to impact and target such large numbers of people?
As I had mentioned before, you know, I grew up in Ohio, right? And I think we're all Ohioans here. Ohio's a funny place, right? You can roll through the smallest town in Ohio and the sign might say, you know, population 2,000, but you go to their football game on Friday night and there's 5,000 people there and say, how did this happen? So the way we reach so many people is through the events that these high schools put out. But we also, you know, work with those schools and communicate messages to the community via their social media accounts, as the world has kind of modernized here. And so we get broad reach into the community because those schools have such broad reach.
Well, is it just sporting events, or are there other activities?
We do. We try to penetrate the school as a whole. Now, primarily, a lot of our events, because those events are the events that bring the community together, a lot of them are athletic events, but there's also exposure that we enable through, I had mentioned, the social media accounts that schools have, but also through other events such as band concerts and theater performances and plays. So we really, the things that bring the community together are the assets that we utilize to communicate those messages to the community.
How many schools do you partner with right now?
So within District 1, we are partners on a national level with a group called the NFHS. Okay. The NFHS is, a lot of people don't know what that stands for. It's the National Federation of High Schools. It's the equivalent of to what the NCAA is to colleges. So it's kind of like the governing body. Within that group, there's 19,000 high schools. Wow. So within, you know, our realm, we have 19,000 schools that we can work with on any given campaign.
How many do you have in Ohio?
So there's about 700 schools in Ohio, of which we've probably actively run campaigns at probably 500 of them.
And do you contact them directly to do campaigns, or do you work with another organization to get the word out?
We contact them directly. We've been doing this for 20 years. Me and my brother founded this in our attic back in Cleveland. We can talk about that a little bit. But prior to that, we were in pro sports and marketing out in New York City. And what we found is that, you know, there's no magic button to press to get schools to work with you. So we have created within our company an entire team called the Dedicated School Team. And all they do all the time is foster these relationships with schools. So long answer to your question is we reach every school directly.
Can you tell us about some of the school programs?
Sure. So one of the programs, I guess, our highest level program at this point that we're doing right now is with Farmers Insurance. And Farmers is a national insurance company. They have agents in almost every state across the country. Every one of their agents can select a school to sponsor. And obviously that's good for the farmer's agent because they do most of their business right in their local community. When that agent picks a school, we create something at that school called a Safe Decisions Week. It's actually a highlight week, but it's an annual campaign. So that agent receives high-level exposure at all the athletic events through the school's social media. But all of those messages that are going out to the community are talking about safe driving and distracted driving, all sponsored by that agent. So that's a good kind of microcosm of the type of campaigns that we try to do.
And you, that through that, you're able to reach what, parents and students?
Yes.
Yeah,
so again, to our initial reason for starting the company, we always saw schools as the glue to a community, not just obviously talking about the kids in the school, but the effect that you could have on the parents, even older residents in neighborhoods. Obviously, if you're a family with little kids, those middle schools all ladder up to the high school. You generally go to those games on the weekend or those events. So we see that school as a great tool to effectively communicate to the whole community.
Well, I know my grandkids, which I was going to say, I know you've got four kids, just wait till they grow up, get married, and I have 12 grandkids. So.
Oh, my God.
So just wait till that time comes.
Don't push me in that to that yet.
But what I was going to say was, I know through to do their school work and that kind of thing, they do use those social media accounts, which means their parents are also on there because they're grade school age, so their parents are also on there. And
exactly. You know what's funny about that? If you remember about 15 years ago when social media was just starting, the schools did everything they could do to try to kick it out, right? They didn't embrace it. They were against Facebook. Facebook was kind of one of the first ones out there. And now, you know, I'm a parent now, two kids in high school. I don't know what they're doing without looking at the social media accounts.
That's what my daughter says. She said that's where she gets all of her information.
Yeah, so my son runs cross country. You know, he's got his own page. My daughter does her own things. I got to follow those groups. And really, that's how you know what your kids are doing. So it's amazing how schools have adopted that. And that mechanism that schools have, you know, most schools in the state of Ohio, people would find this hard to believe, most schools have between 5 and 10,000 followers on their school affiliated and controlled accounts. So it's a really good communication mechanism.
Is there any way to measure the success of your message?
Well, Matt, you're asking a question that is probably the most difficult one to answer for any company that sells marketing, right?
Right.
There are measurement tools we use. We can tell you how many people heard your message. We can tell you, we can estimate how many people were in the stands. We can tell you what the share rate was of your social media posts. But ultimately, you know, as we talk about campaigns, you know, the biggest compliment we get, and I had mentioned Farmers Insurance, right? Those are individual agents working in those neighborhoods that are doing these campaigns. And when they call and say, this was the greatest campaign I ever did, that to me is really the measurement tool that I use. But go ahead and ask a billboard company or a television company if they can really produce significant, you know, a real return.
Right.
Very difficult.
Well, you mentioned earlier how this all started in your attic with your brother. Why don't you talk a little bit more about that and who came up with this idea and how you got the ball rolling over the years.
Yeah, sure. I'll be quick on this. I was out in New York City. I was working for advertising agencies. I actually worked for Anheuser-Busch as a company. I worked for Fox Sports. I worked for some great companies, all in the realm of sports marketing and advertising. I actually was able to bring my wife back from New York City, which is a whole different story. But after working in those professional sports, my brother Regan and I, we said to ourselves, you know, if you look at Ohio, for example, you know, the Buckeyes and the Browns, and there's a lot, people love sports in Ohio. Believe it or not, there's there's hundreds of thousands of more people sitting in high school stadiums on a Friday night than any of those combined. And we said, hey, if we can link all these high schools together, it'd be a pretty cool idea. So we went back and wrote a business plan. We tapped two friends of our family who gave us enough to pay ourselves for 12 months. We started in the attic that we both shared a room in, and off and running we were. So it was great, and this has been our passion for 20 plus years, and through those years we've had some ups and downs, but I'm here talking to you today. We're still doing it, and we're doing it better than ever. So we've been blessed, and it's been a fun ride.
A lot of communities and schools have seen a drop-off in sports participation due to a number of factors, really. But what's your level of concern with that, down the road?
Well, look, if I'm the NFL, I'm worried about football, right? There has been a drop-off in all levels of football, primarily due to the concussion issue. Right. Now, we see that flattening out a little bit, but it does concern me. As I work with high schools, I see high school athletics as the foundation of all of our major sports moving forward, because it's the first level where there's uniform associations. So, for example, in Ohio, we have the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Prior to that, when you're playing middle school sports, you're playing for your rec league, or sure, you're not under a central governance in that. So I pay attention to the high school. Now, high school participation has been increasing for years, with just a couple exceptions, one being football. So I do think there's, depending on your sport, you got to be paying attention to that. And I'm all for, that's why I work in the high school realm. I did a ton of work in the professional and collegiate realm, but I think where America and corporate America needs to focus its dollars and its investment are really into the high school level. So when I hear about, big companies spending $50 million with the NFL or the NBA, I understand to a point why they do it, but I think the normal people like us see that those teams are run by billionaires and they're staffed by multimillionaires. I don't think they need the sponsorship dollars, right?
Right.
We need them in high school. Absolutely. So, and I think that mom and dad and customers would appreciate that if a company made a decision to make that investment. And then they would turn around and, support that company.
And how does District 1 fill that void?
Well, that's what we're doing. That's why I'm here. You guys are giving me a worldwide audience to tell my story. So, we are going out to corporate America to get them to listen to us and to focus their effort. And when you're talking about sponsorships, companies do it because, they believe that they're getting their voice out there, getting their brand out there. And I get it. I understand there's huge stages with those professional teams and sports. But back to your point of return on investment, I contend that if you spent those same dollars and spread that money into neighborhoods across the United States, that the parents in those communities and the families in those communities would recognize that support and turn around and become your customer. And I feel like there's no greater affiliation than you have to your own children's teams, right? No matter what our Buckeyes and Browns and Bengals are doing, my number one concern is, where is my kid? How's he doing in his cross country meet? Right. How's my girls' soccer team doing? I care much more about those.
Sure.
So how do you figure that schools and students both win with District 1?
So anytime we do a campaign, we deliver money into a school, right? So, and if you look at statistics nationally, 85% plus of athletic directors in high school will tell you that out of their two top problems, one is funding. So from a program perspective, every time we bring a message into our program, we give money back to schools. So that helps the funding issue. From a kid perspective, we work really hard to make sure that the messages that we're delivering are helpful to that kid. So, as I'm sitting here talking to you, our meeting previously was about the Ohio laborers, and work zone safety issues. So if we're going to do a campaign for work zone safety, I want that. My kid is a 17-year-old driver, right? I don't think anybody has, and shame on me, you know, has sat down and talked to him yet about, you know, when you see those barrels, what do you do? This campaign is intended to speak directly to him and, hey, slow down. Make sure that there's space in between you and the next car. Stop looking at your phone. All that.
Stop eating and drinking.
So all of the messages that we bring into our campaigns are intended to have a positive effect on the students as well.
Can you explain a little bit more about how you said you kind of introduced funding to these schools? Can you kind of explain that a little more?
Sure. So just like any company that offers marketing services and marketing, you know, they go to a you know, corporation ABC and they say, hey, spend $100,000 with me. I do the same thing. I go to company ABC. I say, spend $100,000 with me. We're going to make that work into neighborhoods, you know, of your choosing. Well, we take that as opposed to the media company ABC, where that those money goes to the shareholders. We take that money from company ABC and we disperse a lot of it into all the schools that are running that campaign. And we do that evenly. So if there's 100 schools in a campaign, we disperse the funding equally to those schools. So it's a built-in part of our platform.
It sounds like an easy way for schools to help bridge that funding gap.
It is. It is. And we got a long way to go, you know, to bring enough in that it would really eradicate that gap, but every dollar helps. I hear stories all the time, like from schools, even if we give schools, you know, if you give schools $500, which in the scope of a district isn't a lot of money, we'll get messages from schools that say, you know, that let us schedule our girls' golf team this year. If we didn't have that $500, we wouldn't have had the bus, you know, to pay to get them to their, you know, five matches or six matches. So it's rewarding, right? But a lot more has to be done. These schools need a lot more dollars. And I do think the private sector is a good place to look for that. I think it's a great partnership.
So how can the laborers get involved with District 1 and help get the work zone safety message out?
So, yeah, I'm so happy to be here talking about this. From a work zone safety perspective, I've got so much respect for the laborers. I've got good friends up in the Cleveland area that are laborers. And this issue came to light with me months ago. And I believe our platform can do wonders for it. And that's why I'm excited to be here with you. You know, I envision a work zone safety campaign being put out through the state of Ohio that would exist at these high school football games and basketball games, and there'd be messages for kids about, you know, when they come to a work zone, what do they do? Look out for it. There'd be social media reminders to them. It'd be something that would be ingrained in them, which I can tell you when I was in high school, nobody taught me that. I might have gone over it for 5 minutes in one of my driver's ed classes, but nobody taught me the protocols and the safety things you should be doing as you come up to one of these zones. And why I think our platform could be so useful is because every kid in Ohio, think about this, every kid in Ohio turns 16 in high school, right? What a better time to get this into their heads. Maybe it will stick, right, for a long time. But it's not just about the kids. We talked about this earlier. We're, you know, our reach is community wide. So we would be doing social media posts to mom and dad, which could definitely start a conversation in the household. So, you know, I envision this very high level message about work zone safety that's hitting, you know, at the heart of these communities, at their biggest events, you know, talking about an issue that frankly, you know, 8 months ago, I hate to admit it, I didn't really know much about it until I sat down with the laborers and understood how significant of an issue that is. And, you know, people throw around the term risking their lives every day. You know, I hear some pro athletes saying that right now, and I want to strangle them a little bit, right? But, you know, after learning about the work zone issues, you know, that's what's happening out there. Those guys and girls out on the roads, that's where it's really going down. So we have a responsibility to talk to our kids. Again, not just kids, but this is mom, dad, kids, everybody, about, being more safe when you're coming up to those zones.
And it's not just those kids that are driving at that point. You want to start hitting that message earlier and earlier, correct?
Correct. So yeah, why not, right? So, again, I didn't hear these messages at that point in my life. And if you're 15, 14, I mean, all you're thinking about, honestly, it's at a certain point is, when can I get my driver's license? Right. So, and that's happening in my house right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, why not get those kids, and why not highlight that issue and make that, important to them? And by the way, when you're teaching them about work zone safety, you're also teaching them about, because part of work zone safety is, hey, get rid of that phone, that will help them outside of work zones, right? There's a lot of messages as you're approaching a work zone, or the things that I'm actually, frankly, learned through the laborers, the best things you need to be doing. By the way, those are good to be doing, most of the time outside of the work zone. So it's just giving them good stuff, and it's helping the men and women out there on the road. I'm sure they'd be happy to see that.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, look, I'm thrilled to be here talking about this, and if it's something we can bring to fruition, that would be wonderful.
Have you had anybody that has seen your messages before and tell you what it has meant to them, or if it changed their lives?
Yes, so we have. So we have. We've done some campaigns through the years. The Safe Decisions campaign. I have been told by superintendents and teachers that this was the best collaboration of company coming together with our school to get out a good message. Everything down to, a kid saying, hey, with the funding you brought our school, it allowed me to be on the team. That's obviously really rewarding. And we have countless stories and letters we get from booster clubs or schools that talk about the message and how it helped with, whether it's helped with their prom or helped with a sport, or the message actually helped the school get that message across to the kids in a much more effective way. So it is a rewarding experience for us, and it's been wonderful.
I know we've talked mostly about work zone safety, but what would be the advantage to the laborers if we ran a campaign as far as workforce development?
Sure. I was here for a two-pronged approach, and thanks for bringing that up, because I said in the meeting earlier, look, as you're growing through high school nowadays, it feels like our society has told kids that they've got to go to college for the last 20 years, right? And to me, there's so much more opportunity after high school that has become so apparent these days. And I think that there's wonderful futures for these kids. And you got to talk to mom and dad too, right? Because they have a lot of influence.
Absolutely.
But for them to look into a career with the laborers, because it's such a wonderful job. It comes with great benefits. The other thing about it is, it's like being on a team. There's terrific pride in the work. There's terrific. It's the local numbers are always a source of pride. I kind of look at all the different locals as their own team, in mm-hmm. essence.
Yeah.
And it's really neat. And there's something to be said about that as well, in terms of, as you go into your career, what type of group do you want to be part of?
Right.
The benefits are unmatched, and
retirement's great.
Yeah, everything. And I keep reading articles in Ohio about this skills gap coming in 2025 and probably even before that. And, we have to have folks ready to fill the void. And I think a great way to do it is to work with your group and inspire, again, through the same mechanisms I just spoke about with work zone safety, those same mechanisms can be used to communicate these career opportunities and, you know, meaningful futures for these kids across the state of Ohio.
Attract the next generation of labor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of pride in that.
Generation after generation that work in those.
It's fun to see. You know, I'm not a laborer, but I have many friends who are, and I love when they talk about it because, you know, you can tell that there's a ton of pride in what they do, how they do it, who they do it with. They look forward to doing it tomorrow. I mean, that to me is the one thing I tell my kids. You know, I want them to dream and do whatever they want to do, but the one thing is I want them to wake up and want to do what they're doing every day.
Right.
You know, that to me is a big thing. So, and I see that with the laborers.
It's like they're a big family, hardworking family.
Yeah, exactly.
So you interact with the schools a lot. You seem to have a good heartbeat of what's going on in the schools. How do you talk to the kids about joining the laborers and how they build a career that way?
That's a great question. And I think we have a wonderful way to do that. You know, there's more than one path, right? So I think since I've been in high school, we've been told that, you know, you're going to go to college, but there's more ways to do that than just, you know, graduating high school and going to college.
Right.
You know, the laborers, I've become aware, you know, have a program where you can actually work as a laborer and at the same time earn your associate's degree. I think kids need to know about this. I think that there's plenty of opportunity and even if that wasn't the path, right, there's multiple other ways that it can happen. But the big thing is to, you know, if you were to ask a 17 or 18-year-old boy or girl, do you know what an Ohio laborer is and what he or she does? I'm pretty sure they'd look around at each other and say, no,
right.
They labor, right? So there's a lot more to that, and there's a lot of different ways to get there. You know, whether they want to do post-secondary schooling along with that, whether they want to go directly into a career, that would be up to that kid. But to me, letting that kid and just as importantly, their moms and dads know that there's more than one way to do this. And actually, there's ways to do it with the Ohio laborers that would be incredibly cost efficient, right? If you can be working when you're getting your degree and getting that, you know, paid at the same time, then you end up with two things. You have a career and no debt. So,
right.
You know, those are big issues right now.
I mean, what a better way to get your college education is and make money at the same time.
Right.
Instead of paying for college and then getting a job, you get a job and you get college at the same time, you get paid.
Right.
And you don't have to pay for much of the college.
Right. And I think, you know, it's been crazy what's happened with COVID, where a lot of these kids left campus and they did their last semester remote. I think a lot of mom and dad scratching their heads saying, wait a minute, I was paying $25,000, $10,000, $15,000, and they did their last semester here, and I might have to rethink about this whole arrangement here. So you know, I think with this time that, you know, when you're maturing through high school, I think that I think families are going to look at their options to me more in depth right now. And I think, you know, what workforce development means to me with the Ohio laborers is exposing that as an option moving forward in many different scenarios.
I agree. Now, my question to you is, I know we have these talks with our kids, you know, as they start getting a little older about, you know, sex, drugs, drinking, all that kind of thing. How could you slide the importance of work zone, driving safely through work zones?
Well, you know what? My wife is from New Jersey, and you should hear the conversation she has with our kids. She doesn't spare the F-bomb. She doesn't tread lightly around sex. Drugs, alcohol. So, you know, I got lucky as a husband from that perspective. She covers a lot of it. But I tell you, on the driving front is the one that as a dad scares me the most. So I do make it a point to, again, I got a 16 and a 17 year old, two drivers, neither of whom I consider to be really good drivers.
Right.
Can anybody be? Right. They think they are.
Right.
But I have, you know, be safe. I've never specifically addressed a work zone issue. But I absolutely have addressed the phone, the distracted driving. And as I've learned more, I'm going to take back my words. I hadn't addressed the work zone issue before I met with the Ohio Laborers. I absolutely addressed it when I came home. And I do think, yes, that is a dad moment, a mom moment. That is a very significant lesson to talk to your kid. I think almost every parent is talking to them about their phones. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to slow down when the signs say to slow down. I never realized how much trouble there were in work zones. Not even, again, from the worker standpoint, but also, you know, it's a dangerous situation for the driver.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's right.
So, absolutely, I have talked to my son about that. My daughter is still in her temp. So that will be an absolute conversation with them, both of them.
Yeah.
And it won't be just one time. Because, you know, I don't know. Tell
they
them
don't
something.
Listen one
right.
time.
I don't know. I can't remember the last lesson that I felt like they just got it and I didn't have to remind them like the next day. But
it takes something like seven times hearing a message
right.
for it to really sink in.
Yeah. Right. So, but no, I've been grateful that you guys have educated me on that subject and that now I can turn around and educate them. And that goes back to the whole concept of what we're talking about, getting the word out there on that front. Hopefully a campaign would have the same effect of learning about it has had on me because now I do go home and talk to them about that.
Well, thank you for being with us, Pete. And
yeah.
We appreciate all the information you gave us. And we're just glad that we could be a part of you getting these messages out to these young kids.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you welcoming me in here. And I feel like, you know, I've been around the laborers now for weeks and months and, even though I can't say I'm a part of a local, I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, on the fringes there as a friend of the laborers, and I look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Oh, definitely.
We appreciate
us
it.
Too, yeah.
Well, we want to hear from you. We'd like to hear your suggestions or questions or anything else you have to say. Reach us at talk@downwiththedig.com.
Follow us and share us with your friends. Until next time, we'll see you on Down with the Dig.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, now you're up to date. Views and comments expressed on this podcast may not be those of Ohio Labor's District Council or LIUNA. Thanks for listening, and let's be careful out there.